Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, fans, it's the Neek and Rude Pro Football Talk Show. You are here with us tonight because you love football just as much as we do. I know you do. I know you do. Oh, if you don't, I'm going to make you love it. You're going to love this football. And you know what, folks? It's playoff time. So, you know, the fake need not enter. If you are a pretender and not a contender and you're not going for that crown, if you're not going for that Lombardi trophy, you got to go. You're not playing no more. But you know, we're going to start off the show with some teams that are not playing no more. So, you know, we're going to talk about some of this news that's going on around the NFL. We're going to give you the updates from the wild card weekend. Four games went down and they were spectacular. Neek's going to give you his take on those games. Me, Rudy, I'm going to give you my take on those games. Rudy Rude, if you don't know, you better ask somebody. I'm definitely on this show with my friend, my main man, NFL agent, Neek. So, you know, like I said, I definitely want to get into this news. Neek, we're going to get into, again, the wild card round. I guess before we get into this news, Neek, was there anything in NFL right now that's just, I mean, you can't wait to talk about, man, and it's outside of the news? Is there any hirings that's really just weighing on your mind or something that you just, a view you needed to express? You know, we emphasize the Giants, Raiders, and the Browns on this show, but this all NFL all the time. Like I said, about to give you the news, some of the latest with the hirings in the NFL and what's been going on in the playoffs, what's going to be going on. But, Neek, let the people know what's up.
Yeah, what's going on, fans? Man, you know what? It's crazy because we're going into the divisional playoff games, but the Cowboys made a hire, an NFL head coaching hire. And what's so funny about this is that America's team, which, you know, Jerry Jones, the owner, always likes to say all the time, I get tired of hearing that, but he actually made a quick hire move, which was very shocking to me because I didn't think it was going to happen so fast. Being the fact that this is America's team, I thought America's team might have some kind of protocol, some kind of long hiring sessions, interviews, a bunch of interviews. But no, they felt like they found their man, and their guy is Mike McCarthy, former Green Bay Packers head coach. His resume is actually very decent, not bad. He did get the Packers to a Super Bowl victory, so he does have that on his resume. And I think with Jerry Jones, feels like this team is too talented to not have someone who doesn't have Super Bowl experience. So like I said, you know, what was attractive to him is that he won a Super Bowl. And he didn't want to go the route of bringing an unknown college football coach in or an unknown assistant in. So he said, you know what? I don't have much time left on this earth. I'm going to go get somebody that has at least won the Super Bowl. And on top of that, when my Cowboys played the Packers back in the playoffs, you know, the Dez Bryant catch, we lost. So he knows all about Mike McCarthy. He's familiar with him. So the biggest news to me was that the Cowboys hired Mike McCarthy because I thought my Giants or Browns route might would have went after him. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what both of our teams do moving forward.
Obviously, you know, Neek, that's the breaking news of the day. You know, the Dallas hiring of Mike McCarthy, like you said, a Super Bowl winning, you know, coach. But he was coaching Aaron Rodgers and he was coaching Brett Favre. I believe his record was somewhere 100 and some and 70 some. So obviously he's a winning coach. I believe he went to the playoffs at least about six times in his 10 years or so in Green Bay. Had a good run, won one Super Bowl, you know, had a lot of success against the Dallas Cowboys. Also, in light of, you know, Dallas hiring there, Mike Nolan, which I had just told Neek to mention, is going to be the D.C. For the team, and he's going to be hired by Dallas as well for that defensive coordinator position. Also, obviously, Jason Garrett was the coach that vacated that position. That was kind of odd how that went down. We don't talk about the Cowboys on the show no more than any other team. We don't get down like that. We're not necessarily mainstream, man. This show is underground. We talk about what people really want to hear. So you know, as far as Garrett getting fired after going 8-8 with the Cowboys this year, it was inevitable. Like Jerry Jones basically told him, like, you're going to the NFC Championship game or you're getting fired. And they let it go until Sunday. You know, after the wild card round, you know, officially said that Garrett will be out, kind of leaked out before that after the meetings that, you know, they had with and then Jerry Jones' son and then also Garrett. But Garrett's going to be out and Mike McCarthy's in. Let's go with a couple teams that haven't named coaches yet. Well, actually, also, too, if we hadn't mentioned it before, Washington, Ron Rivera, I think we already mentioned that. Also, Jack Del Rio is going to be the DC there. So that's one vacancy that filled. But the Giants are still you know, interviewing candidates after firing Pat Shurmur. Don't forget the Carolina position is available. Let me go through a list of the people that the Browns have interviewed for their head coaching position after firing Freddie Kitchens, not letting him come back in the facility after the last game lose to the Bengals, right? It's that bad, right? It's the Brown family rivalry there with the Bengals, obviously being the little brothers of the Browns, but showing a lot of fight in week 17. Last week, but the Browns did interview Mike McCarthy. Obviously, he won't be the hire. He got hired by the Cowboys. Brian Daboll, Flo's OC. Buffalo's offense wasn't great. I mean, they use Josh Allen effectively. They have good runners. They use them effectively. Decent receivers. It really seem like they have two slot receivers. You know what I'm saying? But Josh McDaniels, the New England OC, who I think may be the eventual coach for the Cleveland Browns. Eric Bieniemy, amongst another couple names, like Greg Roman from Baltimore, and then also Wink Martindale. I think they interviewed Wink Martindale in the process. The Giants, again, still looking for coaches. Carolina, really the Giants and the Browns are interviewing like exactly the same guys. Nick, I don't know if you wanted to input on the Giants, you know, head coach position. I'm going to let you do that in a second. Some possible possibilities for the Giants head coach position. I'm going to come back to that in just a second. A couple other things I want to mention, a couple retirees. Kyle Long retires for the Bears. The offensive guard for the Bears retires with the season just come to an end. Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander also retires. And Kiko Alonso tears ACL for the Philadelphia Eagles. Nick, I want to go right back to the Giants hire. Some of the people that have interviewed there and who you'd like to fill that position. I really like Josh McDaniels after McCarthy got hired. Obviously, Rivera's off from the market. Those were two of my top three guys there. Again, I like McDaniels coming from New England with all that experience, won a lot of those Super Bowls in New England, formerly a coach for 1 year in Denver. But who do you like for that Giants job, besides Matt Rhule?
Well, Rhule, see, I could actually do my own segment, my own show on this because I know the time. Everybody's looking at me like, Neek, hurry up, wrap it up. I know I am. But this is my Giants. We were once a proud NFL franchise. We were. When people think about the New York football Giants, that's what they say, the New York football Giants. Damn, we got to play them Giants. But you know what, folks? The last few years, we're the laughing stock of the NFL. I'm sorry. Yes, we are. Because we had Jerry Reese, our general manager, I couldn't stand. And then we went out and brought in after Tom Coughlin left, one of the most respected coaches. He's gone. Tom did a great job. I miss you, Tom. But going with that Ben Wackadoo, I don't even call him McAdoo, Ben Wackadoo, how the hell did he get a job? I don't understand. And that was just an embarrassment. That was just like a joke for him. He didn't know what the hell he was doing. We've been soft for the last few years. And then we went out to get Pat Shurmur. I said, really? Pat Shurmur? And Rue knows all about Pat Shurmur in Cleveland. He was joking Cleveland. If he was a joke in Cleveland, how in the hell is his jokes going to get better in New York? On Broadway. It won't. Same old silly ass routine that needs to be shut the hell down. And you know what? And guess what? You know I got to say my favorite line on this show. Because you didn't perform under the big lights in the Big Apple, what'd you say? Oh, he underperformed. I know that, Rube. But because you underperformed on Broadway under the big lights in the Big Apple, you know what happens to you, folks. When you don't step your game up, you don't come to bring it every night, every week, every Sunday for the New York people, you get dropped off. He got dropped off. He got dropped off on Broadway. I was so glad his ass got dropped off. I couldn't stand time I see Sherman. Let me say this real quick. Every time I see Sherman on a press conference, I just want to run up on stage and hit his ass. And I'm not a violent guy. But you know why? Because every press conference, well, you know, I'm proud of my guys. You know, we fought today. But, yeah, we competed hard. We just, you know, there's a few things we got to work on, but I'm proud of the guys. What the hell you talking about? It's the same stuff every Sunday. I'm tired of hearing your lame ass answers, man. Your excuses. You never have this team prepared. And I know you're trying to calm me down. People in here trying to fan me. I get that. But I'm telling you. So who do I want to see for the Giants head coach? I'm looking at this coaching, you know, list right now. I did like Mike McCarthy. I know we have Josh McDaniels, but Josh McDaniels just seems like a little prick, a little arrogant prick to me. I don't know. I mean, we need somebody with a defense mindset, someone that's going to hold these players accountable. So, therefore, Matt Rhule, I know they're talking about Matt Rhule turning around Temple. He turned around Baylor. I don't know about that. Right now, we don't need Matt Rhule. I like Don Martindale with the Baltimore Ravens defense coordinator, and I like him because he's going to give you the two-for-one. Joe Barry, the offense coordinator at LSU, and you know how our offense looks. If we get Joe Barry, the offense is going to be so damn explosive. So for the New York Giants, give me Don Martindale.
It's Wink Martindale. So also
Mark,
I would
whatever,
like to say,
my bad.
Since you went on your Giants coach rant, let me go on about a 20-second Browns coach rant. Whoever the coach is for the Browns, I need you to have more of a defensive mentality. Don't be trying to throw three passes with 2 minutes left in the first half because you have offensive mentality. You're not thinking about your defense, and you've got a small lead, but you're willing to squander it to see if you can take a shot downfield. No more 5-7-step drops for Baker Mayfield. No, you need to have a scheme that's conducive to putting the quarterback in a great position. I actually like Brian Daboll as the candidate, but he's not my favorite. I like Josh McDaniel. Throw the ball to the back out the backfield. Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. Throw the ball out the back to the backfield. Throw slants. Throw comebacks. Man, would you just play action? Would you roll out? Would you be out the pistol? Would you have 12 personnel, 22 personnel, two backs? Would you get a fullback? Would you please just play West Coast offense? Baker doesn't need more than 25 attempts. Run the ball more than 30 times a game. Get a fullback. Run the ball. Develop the offensive line. Play to the defense. Play to the strengths of the game. Run the ball in defense. Just utilize all your weapons. Please, you have all these weapons. Go ahead and use them. That's like Rambo just using like a Dillinger. Rambo, he got the bazookas. He got the 100 rounds off the machine gun. He's got a 9mm on his hip, and he's going to shoot the Dillinger one time. He's going to pew, and then he's done. He's one shot.
Yeah, just like Clint Eastwood. What you say, punk? How you feeling, punk? Are you feeling lucky?
All right, man. So we're going to move on. Yo, the divisional playoffs, I'm going to be honest with you, Neek. It was dope, man. The first game, Buffalo and Houston. Neek, I'm told you, I'm an honorary member of the Bills Mafia. You know, my connections, man, my fam. You know, shout out to all the singletons out there. You know, for real, Buffalo is one of my squads, especially after Cleveland. But Josh Allen, to get this team out to a 16-0 lead, Josh Allen had the world on his shoulders. Remember when on that first drive that Buffalo had, when Josh Allen ran for like a 50-yard run, man? He ended up with, 92 yards rushing in this game. Again, had a 50-yard rush on the first drive. I almost want to say he, caught a pass. Did he catch it? Yeah, he caught a touchdown pass. Josh Allen was doing everything on the first drive. He had 264 yards passing, 92 yards rushing, but you know what, Nick? He didn't have any touchdowns. You know what? And Deshaun Watson, he had a great game, but it was a struggle. He actually got sacked 7 times. So for all Laremy Tunsil has done for this team, he dealt with a lot of pressure. Deshaun Watson at the end of the day was 20 for 25 for 247. I think his running game supported him enough to win. You know, Josh Allen, the same thing. His running game was not as good, but they probably did enough for him to win considering that he almost had 100 yards rushing himself. But with these two young quarterbacks, Nick, I mean, both of these guys play well. Josh Allen had a costly fumble late in the game, you know, but this game was something, and it went to overtime. Again, the Bills got off to a 16-0 lead, and by now, everybody probably knows what happened. But if I told you that the Bills got off to a 16-0 lead in this one, Nick, what would you tell me that the likely outcome was?
No, I would be surprised, but the funny thing is, man, Rue, when we look at these stats, Josh Allen led the Bills in rushing. 9 carries, 92 yards. Deshaun Watson, Houston's quarterback, led the team in, you know, with 55 yards rushing. It's crazy. So, yeah, so I don't know. It's crazy, man. But, yeah, so these stats are just crazy. And then when you look at the receiving, Hopkins, you know, led Houston with 6 catches, 90 yards. The running back for the Bills, Singletary, who's, you know, the Bills running back, he led the team in receiving. So, yeah, it's just crazy to look at these stats. But, you know, Deshaun Watson was Houdini-like, did his thing, brought the Houston back. I mean, it was ugly in the first half, but give Houston props. But the thing that hurt Houston's offense in this game was not having Will Fuller. He couldn't, you know, this Houston offense could not stretch the field, and they struggled.
Oh.
So,
bottom line is that early in this game, Hopkins got shut down. He still came back to have 6 catches for 90 yards in this one. Kenny Stills got involved early. He ended up with 4 catches for 46 yards. But, you know, again, when you talk about the Houston running game, it wasn't supporting Deshaun Watson. He ended up being their leading rusher. Hyde had 48 yards rushing. Singletary had 58 yards rushing for the Bills. But they have the quarterbacks be the two leading rushers, both of them over 200 yards passing. As I mentioned, I don't know if I gave the exact number, but again, Deshaun Watson ended up 20 for 25, 247, and Josh Allen, 264 rushing yards. And this one, 264 passing yards in this one with 92 yards. Josh Allen was 24 for 46. Probably too many attempts there, right? And, you know, in terms of, you know, the receivers that he got involved, like you said, Devin Singletary is main receiver. Obviously, Cole Beasley, like the leading receiver, or whether you could say John Brown, they both had 4 catches. You know, John Brown had 4 catches for 50 yards. Cole Beasley, 4 catches for 44 yards. But I think we see that, you know, both of these slot receivers or the number 2 and number 3 receiver from Buffalo is the reason why they got eliminated in this game. Even though they got up to that 16-0 lead, they couldn't just do the things that were crucial to them winning this game. Deshaun Watson has a little bit of playoff experience. Josh Allen, however, this was his first playoff game. Let's not forget that crucial loss in New England late in the season for the Buffalo Bills. Going 10-6 this year is for the Buffalo Bills. I really think that I won't say that they overperformed, but I think that they delivered in the season. But, you know, they just got outmatched in this one. The better team won the game. It's heartbreaking for the Bills, especially a team that, like, went through the Jim Kelly era with 4 straight Super Bowls to, you know, have a comeback really affect them like that and to lose this game. But you got to say that the better team won this game. And, you know, Deshaun Watson is putting his name up on the list of magicians in the NFL. Like Russell Wilson, that says, hey, man, we knew that somebody had to come out here and be special. And you know what Deshaun Watson said? Why not me? And you know what? We ain't talked about him yet, but how you like that?
Yeah, how you like that? But, Root, let me ask you something, man. Saturday night, like there was another game that took place Saturday night. And let me just ask you this. If I told you the Tennessee Titans will win, and I would have said Ryan Tannehill. Oh, yeah, the final score in that Buffalo game was Houston. Everybody know Houston won 22-19. All right, Root, that's enough. But listen, man, listen to what I'm telling you. So if I told you Tennessee beat New England in New England, right? I know. I'm building no more. Listen, Root, calm me down, man. So what I'm saying is, Root, you'd be like, dang, so Tennessee won. Who's been hot for Tennessee lately? It's been Ryan Tannehill, the quarterback, and Henry. But if I told you Tennessee won this game and Ryan Tannehill only threw for 72 yards, you'd be like, shut your mouth, Nick. Come on, quit lying, man. Quit lying. No, but it's crazy. Tennessee went into New England and won this game 20-13 with Ryan Tannehill, Tennessee's quarterback, only throwing for 72 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. Not 100 yards passing, not 200 yards passing, 72
not
yards.
300.
But Derrick Henry, that beast of a running back, carried 34 times, 182 yards. And you know what Derrick Henry did? He kept Tom Brady in that offense on the sideline. They had to sit there and watch as their defense ran over it, trampled. Derrick Henry balled out. No more to even talk about any other player on offense except Derrick Henry because he was the game. He was the MVP of this game.
Now, what do we talk about when, for example, my Browns played New England and when they played other teams that could really run the ball well? New England's defense, however great it is at forcing turnovers, you know, Stephon Gilmore, he's very opportunistic. You know, he will go for them picks. He's a great corner. He might be the defensive player of the year. But we said the one weakness of this New England defense is the ability to run the ball. And guess what? Derrick Henry had over 1,500 yards. this year. I don't know if a lot of people know that. He was the rushing champion because Nick Chubb, with over 1,400 yards, was not the rushing champion because Derrick Henry is like 6'4 and 250 pounds. And, folks, I'm a coach. I just coached earlier tonight. You cannot coach that. That is uncoachable. The ability to run people over, look at them down on the ground, you might even look at them. You might just look past them. You look over them because you say, you are mere mortal. I am running the ball out here like Jim Brown. I am the Jim Brown of this era, along with men like Nick Chubb and such that are just men and gods. And you are just a player that will be looking for a contract after the year with another team. But I am a running back from Alabama running for nearly 200 yards in one of my first playoff games. And I am running for 34 times, 182 yards, and a touchdown. And that's about all it took against these Patriots that lost his game 20-13 with Tom Brady almost throwing for 300 yards, 20 for 37, 298 yards, no touchdowns. But the crucial thing here for Tom Brady was obviously that late game pick. That late game pick off the deflection. Was the pass intended for Mohamed Sanu? I think it was. That hasn't worked out so well for the Patriots. And you know what? Tom Brady, what he threw for 208 yards. I'm sorry, and I had a typo there. 208 yards, 20 for 37 for 208. Fine. But you know what? What he did basically was not enough to get the job done. I know that Tannehill only threw for 72 yards. He had completed less than 50% of his passes. I looked at A.J. Brown. I was like, I know A.J. Brown was probably a factor in this game. But no, he only had one catch for 4 yards. And you know what? This just came down to Tennessee playing good defense. And you know who I want to give props to, man? Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel, you know, going against the team that he formerly played for. Did you know that Mike Vrabel caught several touchdowns for the Patriots in the playoffs? Obviously, he was a great linebacker. Playoffs. Yeah, you got to give that shout out to Jim Moore. Playoffs. You know what? Another one, you know, my boy Dennis Green. You can just go ahead and crown their ass. You can crown their ass. You know what we didn't get to talk about at the top of the show, Nick? Tom Brady's not under contract. We don't know where Tom Brady's going. We don't know what the future of Tom Brady and this New England Patriots franchise holds. Tom Brady, for the first time, is a free agent. He can go sign anywhere. He can go to Cleveland. He can go to the San Diego Chargers. I know you call them the L.A. Chargers. I call them San Diego Chargers because they mom call them San Diego. I'm going to call them San Diego. All right? He can go anywhere. He can go to the Chicago Bears. He can go to anywhere he so well pleases. And so can Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels is interviewing with my Giants. He's interviewing with your Browns. He can go anywhere he please. Bill Belichick can go anywhere. Bill Belichick probably can go anywhere. But, again, Tom Brady is not under contract. So for this loss, for these Patriots, again, the receiver position, the tight end position, you look at what's going on there. Julian Edelman not really having an impact on the game. He's banged up. N'Keal Harry, they drafted in the first round. He didn't really have an impact on the game. He went out of the game. You got Antonio Brown, who was there for a hot second. He got a cup of coffee. He played one game. He got extended malicious tweets and texts. We don't even talk about him on the show because he's basically banned because he's a fool. He's a coon. And then you got Josh Gordon out there. He's smoking, man. He's smoking all kind of stuff, trying new experimental drugs in states that it's legal. It's cool, Josh, except for if you're an NFL player, a professional athlete, you shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. Now, he ain't there. So you look at what he has, what he got, a Mohamed Sanu, he got Philip Dorsett dropping passes, N'Keal Harry who can't stay on the field. So Tom Brady got to look at this situation and be like, man, I got my man, my trainer, he's basically already moving. I done sold my house. Man, I'm Tom Brady. I can go anywhere I want or I can retire. And you got Tom Kraft saying, Tom Brady, come on, man, come back. I mean, Kraft. You got Kraft, Bob, Rob Kraft, Bob. I call him Bob. You know, cool. I call him Bob. Bob Kraft. He said, you know, Bob. He said, you know, Tom, I really want you back. I either want you here or you can retire. And Tom said, I need at least about $30 million a year right now.
Listen, really, here's the bottom line. Excuse me. When Gronkowski retired, that was it. That was the downfall. That's what happened. That's the bottom line. Because when Gronkowski went down, that was it. Because the bottom line is this. Gronkowski, if you look at playoffs last year, he carried him. He was a break go-to guy. They always, you know, because they had options. So this year with Gronk being gone, and you look at the receiver skill position, I mean, it was just in flux all season long. You know, Elderman, he's always usually injured. But the young guys didn't develop. I mean, Ben Watson, come on. But what they basically did is they utilized the running backs, used them as weapons, which is what they always do, usually in the screen game, this and that. And then when you just look at the playoff game this Saturday, James White was the leading receiver, 5 catches, 62 yards. N'Keal Harry, you asking too much for a rookie to step up. He wasn't ready for the big stage like that. Yeah, he producing games here and there. And then you look at Muhammad Sanu. Sanu came over. Everybody think, oh, we got Sanu this. It's like, hold on, man. I'm still learning this playbook. Hell, I'm still trying to pronounce some of these words in this playbook. So you got to understand, you know, this offense wasn't in sync all season long. And you want to give props to Mike Vrabel because but you also got to give props to Brian Flores. I know he did last week, but I constantly got to keep giving this guy props because, hey, he went to New England in New England a couple weeks ago. He probably called Vrabel up and said, hey, man, you remember how we used to do it in New England?
I like what Vrabel said, too. He said, hey, as far as, like, you know, being conflicted or, you know, having anything on my conscience or, you know, maybe just, you know, what is being sentimental about New England being my former franchise. And I was a player. I got a check for Patriots in 10 years. So, you know what? About who signed it?
Yeah. So, you know, heading to the offseason, Patriots, I know they're going to address that receiver position. They're definitely going to have to address the tight end position. But what's crazy is Tom Brady struggled on Saturday night. But then on Sunday early afternoon, there was another legend quarterback who also struggled. And that was Drew Brees with the New Orleans Saints. Vikings went into the Superdome, beat the Saints 26-20, and my boy Kirk Cousins with his favorite phrase, "You like that? You like that?" How went there and beat them on the last play. And then people want to talk about Saints fans and talk about, oh man, he pushed off this and that. That was offense pass interference. Hey, if they didn't call it, it ain't happening. That's the way I look at it. And you know what? It was just a good pass. Cousins play. And Kirk Cousins, you got to give him some props. Threw for 242 yards, did his thing. Looked great-ish. Even though Steph Diggs and back in the whole game, it was mainly Athena who had 7 catches, 129 yards. But what helped this team is a different team when Dalvin Cook is healthy. And Dalvin missed the last couple games. He missed 28 carries, 94 yards. So just think about the weapons this Vikings offense has. Dalvin Cook, Kyle Rudolph, Thielen, Stephon Diggs. There's some weapons on this Minnesota's offense. And Dalvin Cook, like I said, he controlled the clock, kept that Saints defense off balance. And then for the Saints, let's just be real. All season long, offensively, it's been Michael Thomas and who else? There's no other receiver. Yeah, you got Ted Ginn, Trey Smith, whatever the guy's name is, you have him. You got Taysom Hill, former cornerback, but you're using him in a lot of different positions. Yes, Taysom Hill did his thing, but that's it. So for the Vikings game plan, it was all about double-teaming Michael Thomas, and they said, Saints, have somebody else beat us, which they couldn't do, and then they shut down Alvin Kamara. He couldn't run the ball much, and Taysom Hill was your leading rusher, 4 carries, 50 yards.
All right, Nick, you pretty much broke down that game. But one thing that you left out of the equation was Taysom Hill, man. Taysom Hill, I know you mentioned him. He's a jack of all trades, right? He caught like a 50-yard touchdown, I believe. And then he also, you know, had some carries. You know, he did a little bit of everything for him. He caught a very long touchdown in this one. Again, had some carries, threw a bomb in this one. So he's a do-it-all kind of guy. And, you know, with Drew Brees, he played a good game overall. But he didn't quite do enough. This game obviously came down to Brees. He had an INT and a fumble in this game. Kirk Cousins remained clean. Kirk Cousins was 19 for 31 for 242 yards, including a bomb that he threw to Thielen in overtime. And it was right over his left shoulder. It was beauty foul to take him down to, I believe, about the 3-yard line. And which, you know, they had got backed up a couple times. And there was an ensuing score. After that, they came on third down from Kyle Rudolph. And you know why I love Kyle Rudolph, if not for his last name. But you throw him the fade, he's money in the red zone. They threw that fade. If Saints fans want to get mad about that push-off there on that pass interference, there will be no more rule changes for y'all fools, all right? You can take this to whatever court you want, man, but offensive pass interference is not a play that's regularly going to get called. You said the Vikings won this one 26-20 in overtime. The Saints struggled at different points in this game. They came back. They're down 20-10 at this point. I believe it was 13 at halftime. The Saints missed a field goal right before halftime. Crucial. The better team won this game. Don't talk to me about anything having to do with officiating. There was something that happened with the officiating in the second half before Kyle Rudolph's touchdown that he caught in overtime. And I was like, oh, here we go again. I can't be mad. But you know what? At the end of the day, man, you know, like you said, nigga, if they don't call it, don't count, man. Winners and losers. You know, that's it, man. Winners and losers. So, you know, New Orleans lost this one. They just really played. And Kirk Cousins, man, Kirk Cousins was throwing signs. And, you know, Cook was running the ball well. He almost had 100 yards in this one. He controlled the line of scrimmage in this game, and that's basically what happened. Nick, we're going to move right along. And you know what? When you want to talk about some things that were crucial, I think, that, again, the no call there on the pass interference with Kyle Rudolph's touchdown in overtime, I think that was a non-issue and it shouldn't have been a call. But, Nick, I do want to fast forward and go to this Seattle game at Philadelphia. Now, the big thing that happened in this game to me was the first quarter. You know, the hit from Jadeveon Clowney to Carson Wentz that put him out the game and put him in the concussion protocol. Now, you know, Carson Wentz was going into a slide. He slid kind of feet first, and he slid kind of head first, and he got hit in the back of his helmet. There was no call on the field, Nick. I want to know, Nick, do you think that was a clean hit by Jadeveon Clowney, or do you think he should have got the college targeting call? Even though he wouldn't have got kicked out the game, do you think it should have been a 15-yarder? Because Carson Wentz was definitely out of the game, and Carson Wentz has definitely been a little bit too fragile, handled with care, because he had a headache and he saw some stars. And don't get me wrong, head injuries are not anything to play with, but when it's playoff time, sometimes you got to give a wink, wink to the trainer if you're clear enough.
Well, I mean, come on, man. This is the NFL, excuse me, where the NFL, we know it stands for not for long. And we know that these officials nowadays are trying to protect a lot of these players, these quarterbacks, because they know they won't be in the league for long. So they're looking at this sport, which is a full contact, severe sport, but they're trying to make it almost like touch football a little bit. Well, oh, if you touch the quarterback a little bit too high up, yeah, I'm going to have to call a flag. Oh, if you hit him right there in the leg, yeah, I'm going to have to call a flag. I get tired of that stuff. I mean, just hit the damn quarterback. I mean, that's how we were taught. That's how we played. But so when you ask me a question like this, I can't give you an answer where I'm sitting here like, yeah, that should have been 15. Because, Rude, I'm a football player, man. We're in our late 30s. You know how we play. We were taught to hit, taught to kill out there. Anything that moves, hit, kill, blah, blah, blah.
I couldn't agree with you more, Nick. When I used to play, I used to always try to take out the player that I was tackling, most likely for the game if I could, but not in a dirty way, just like, you need to sit down. You don't want to play against me for the rest of the game. I'm going to punk you. I'm going to scare you like I'm out here wrestling or fighting, and if you want to stand on the sideline for the rest of the game with your coach, so be it. I don't care if your head hurts, your foot hurts, your hand hurts, your teeth hurt, your eye hurt, your brain hurt. Go stand on the sideline till the game over.
Let me tell you like this. I'm not going to call out schools. I'm not going to call out people like that, because I don't need nobody coming at me, because everybody knows me, but I'm like this. That was back in the past. But I'll never forget when I played Mike linebacker. You know, I went both ways, running back, Mike linebacker. In one game, I laid out a kid so hard, and, you know, I used to talk so much stuff. And I remember the crowd talking about, get number 55 out of here. Get him out of here. And I looked at the crowd like, what are y'all looking at me for? All I did was just lay him out. I can't help it. That's just the way I play. And so, you know what? I looked at the other kid, and I talked smack to him. I said, you come across the middle again, they going to need to get your ass up out of here, because I'm about to put you on the stretcher. Hey, those that are listening to the show, if you play football right now, hey, don't take my mindset. I mean, that's just how it was. That's how I grew up playing the game of football.
Hey, so if you play football, just know that it's a contact game. And this one, Carson Wentz went out, man. You know, when we used to play in the streets. We used to play in the backyards, bro. It wasn't no pads, man. You know, at some point we grew out of that. But you know that the person that get hurt and have to go home, you lose, man. At the end of the day, you just want to make it through the game. So at the end of the day, Seattle wins this one 17-9 over Philadelphia. After Carson Wentz went out in the first quarter, Josh McCown came in. And you know what? Josh McCown played admirably. He was 18 for 24 in this one. He just could not get over that hump of really getting them in a position to win the game with scoring a touchdown. Philadelphia set up for field goals in the red zone. But let's not overlook a dynamic performance by two players for Seattle. Russell Wilson, 18 to 30, 325 yards, threw for a touchdown. That touchdown was to DK Metcalf, and Metcalf balled out in this one. 160 yards receiving, a touchdown. He is a man child. He is a big guy that I think with Russell Wilson is going to probably ascend to the point to where he might take over the league at receiver position, become a top 10 receiver in the league. So, yeah, be on the lookout for that. He's a monster.
All right, yeah, he did it. The bottom line is this. Wentz out, he knows the game. McCown come in, don't have much weapons. He don't know guys, doesn't have any reports of these receivers. So he's going to struggle. And the Eagles' offense line was beat up. So Seattle Seahawks defense had 7 sacks. They dominated. So come on, man. I mean, it was a given that Seattle would win the game. All right, Saturday's game. Let's move to the divisional round of the playoffs this upcoming Saturday. First game on the menu, we have the Vikings traveling across to the Bay Area to take on the San Francisco 49ers. Jimmy G and the well-rested 49ers. I'm telling you right now, Dalvin Cook can bring that running game to the Bay Area, and they can run the ball on these 49ers. Kirk Cousins and that offense has the chance, but they have to protect Kirk Cousins, the offensive line. We know that offensive line is the Vikings' weak link. The boys are going to have to stand up, give it their A game, bring their A game, protect Cousins, because if they don't protect Cousins, it's a wrap. And then for Jimmy G and the 49ers, they're going to have to watch the turnovers. We know Jimmy G likes to turn the ball over every now and then, and they need to get that run game going and get pressures on Cousins for them to win.
Nick, you are absolutely right when you talk about the fact that it's who controls the line of scrimmage, especially offensively in the run game. Now, we know about Dalvin Cook, and then we also know about his spell running back, you know, the big guy that can get the job done for him. But what, you know, you can't underappreciate or, you know, try to take away from is San Francisco's running game with Breida, Mostert, you know, Tevin Coleman. They got a stable back there of running backs. So who's going to control the line of scrimmage? I mean, you want to take quantity or quality? Because Dalvin Cook is obviously one of the top running backs in the league. But when you got guys like Mostert in your scheme that are able to excel, they have not done great in other places or have not been given the opportunity, but you still have guys like Tevin Coleman and Matt Breida who obviously are running backs that can run for good yards, and then you got receivers on the outside. You got playmakers. You got Kittle. You got Emmanuel Sanders. You got Deebo Samuel, who's a gadget guy, who I love those type of guys. Gadget guys for Minnesota. Kirk Cousins came out and showed you that he can make plays in the clutch when he needs to. So we're going to see what he can do. He's got Stephon Diggs. He's got Thielen. We saw what he could do last week. Again, Dalvin Cook. Don't forget about both of these defense. San Francisco's defense is overwhelming. San Francisco's defense is overwhelming. They're going to give Cousins a hard time. And you know what? That's the 4:35 game on Saturday on NBC. We're going to go to the late game on Saturday. That is the Tennessee Titans at the Baltimore Ravens. Now, what both these teams want to do is run the ball. They want to be physical. That's all right. You could be physical all night. All night. That's right. At 8:15, Baltimore is going to host the Tennessee Titans, and both of these teams are going to look to what, Nick? Same thing. Playoffs, defense, control the line of scrimmage. That's right. That's the same thing that Vikings and the 49ers are going to do. It's not overly complicated. It's football. Control the line of scrimmage. Run the ball. Both of these teams are going to try to do that. Derrick Henry, we already talked about him earlier in the show. We already know about Lamar Jackson. We're going to do a series on players like Lamar Jackson in the offseason. So I'm looking forward to that, Nick. I'm looking forward to watching this game. I think that this game can either be a blowout because Baltimore is – they're built for this playoff football and its ability to run the ball. But also Tennessee could possibly make this a tough game because both teams are physical. Don't forget, real quick, the Chargers defense schemed up Lamar Jackson really well in his first game in the playoffs last year. Made him pass the ball, which he did not do very well. He really struggled. Vrabel's got that same type of feel to this defense, right?
Yeah, the main issue for the Titans is their secondary. Ravens have an excellent secondary. Marcus Peters is balling. They're good. But the Titans look for Jim Harbaugh and that Ravens offense to attack this Titans secondary. I look for Marquise Brown to do his thing. Look for Mark Andrews to have a couple touchdowns in this game. And then for the Titans, they need to get their tight ends going as well. Get Delanie Walker going, get him involved. And they need to get A.J. Brown. Tannehill, you can't throw for 72 yards in this game as well and expect to win, because these Ravens are going to be fired up. They're going to be coming after you guys. And that offensive line, those tackles, they need to hold up and block. All right, Sunday's game, Texans versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Like I said earlier, if Will Fuller, the wide receiver, plays in this game for the Texans, they have a great shot. If he doesn't play, it's a wrap. I'm sorry. Deshaun Watson needs all his weapons going up against this Chiefs defense. This Chiefs defense is tough. They're playing lights out. They're balling. They're looking very well. They're not making mistakes. The secondary is communicating. This Chiefs going to be fired up, and we don't know what that weather is going to be like, but they need to control the clock with Carlos Hyde. And for the Chiefs, I ain't need to tell them what to do. You ain't got to tell them what to do. They already do what they do. Mahomes going to do his thing. Mahomes plays like Mahomes. They'll win this game.
Nick, is this the game of the weekend right here? I mean, it's got to be, right? We got Mahomes. We got Deshaun Watson. It's some kind of game. 5 Eastern Standard Time, CS. If you're not there, man, you can appreciate the future of the NFL, because these two guys, Sneak, I mean, how are they not part of the future of the NFL? Obviously, the other part of that, Lamar Jackson, who has played, at this point, we talk about Deshaun Watson, you talk about Patrick Mahomes again, about two of the upcoming. Look at what Deshaun Watson did against the Bills last week when he's down 16-0. That's the hard thing. Why not me? Why not me? Hey, let's move on to this Seattle-Green Bay game. Neat. Two magicians here. You got Russell Wilson. You got Aaron Rodgers. What more can you want? 640 slot on Fox on this one. Again, all I got to say, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf for Russell Wilson. Aaron Rodgers has got his boy at the receiver position. This game is going to be epic. It's going to be something. Neither of these quarterbacks is going to accept the loss. They're going to do everything they can to fight and come back. They're going to scratch and claw, and they're not going to allow. It doesn't forget a running game. You got Marshawn Lynch back there, Turbin. I know we got Aaron for Green Bay as well at the running back position, but no, these quarterbacks are going to take over this game.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think Green Bay is going to blow them out. I don't really think much of a game, because Seattle, they barely beat the Eagles, and Eagles were banged up. And the Green Bay Packers defense is flawless. They know how to get after the quarterback. They're going to get after Wilson. Seattle doesn't have a running game, a consistent running game, I should say. But I think Green Bay is going to win this game at least by 14 points or more. With that being said, fans, Neek, Root, we'll see you guys next week.
Hey, I'm going to holler at y'all. Don't be trying to rush me off the mic, man. I got more stuff to talk. Hey, enjoy these games.